Welcome to the Digital Rapport Podcast, where you discover how to connect, influence, and inspire in the digital age.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Digital Rapport Podcast. And today we're going to be talking about structuring your podcast. And we have the amazing Dr. Savvy Aurora, who's an author, a TV radio presenter, digital strategist, and he's been podcasting since 2004. Welcome, Savvy. Welcome to the Digital Rapport Podcast.
How are you today? Thank you so much for inviting me on the show. I really appreciate it. Yeah. 2004, in the early days of podcasting, when someone said, "What's a podcast?" And now people say, "How do you make a podcast? I want a podcast on my own."
Yeah.
Maybe it's down to lockdown. People have had more time. Maybe it's down to advertising. And maybe the technology, when the time is right, it comes to fruition, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's fascinating. I mean, we've turned the tides. For once, I'm interviewing yourself. I mean, you've I've been honored but to be interviewed with yourself on a few different programs. But today I get to interview you and pick your brains and share your insights with our viewers.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, Savvy, talk to me a bit about that. You started podcasting back in 2004. I mean, what can you remember from that then? How did that come about? What did you start doing?
The motivation for doing it was music. Basically, I'm a big jazz fan, been listening to it since I was a kid, and I loved this channel called Smooth FM, I think it was called. And one day they started playing middle of the road music, and I thought, okay, one minute you're playing really nice jazz and fusion and funk music, and you kind of back all the gigs and all the people that come over to the UK, and we go to all their events like guitar, saxes, soul, and more. And now you're playing middle of the road. So I went to the station and I said, well, you know, what's happening? And I met up with the CEO, who also owned some other companies, some other media stations. And they said, well, we decided to change our format because we don't think we can get enough advertising revenue or whatever. And then I was reading in the Financial Times, you know, like you're always thinking, this is interesting. This could be the new thing. Mm. Somebody wrote an article about RSS feeds, you know, real simple syndication. And how this emerging, what they call XML, which is like a particular way to code the fact that content can be updated automatically. It doesn't need you to constantly post items. So if you subscribe to a feed, you get the next update. And this particular person had thought, well, iPods, remember those, are very popular. So why couldn't we do that with radio, that we could have programs that could be made and available offline? So because that channel wouldn't change its mind, and the actual channel split in the end, it went off onto DAB, but Smooth carried on playing their middle of the road. We thought we would create a series of shows every week, a friend of mine and myself, and we hard coded the RSS feed, the XML file, with the date and the time. We tried to understand how this thing works, date, time, length of podcast, the IDS tags, which are the identification tags that go on it, putting the images on. So, you know, recording a podcast is not just recording a bunch of audio. We had a big manual mixer where you could fade in and out the volumes and the music which was playing. And so it kind of started off from there. So we had a little bit of a break in between in terms of a year or so. But I think the current season is something like the 17th season of the podcast, which is called The Smooth Groovers.
Wow.
But subsequently, since then, I've worked in large companies and I've encouraged them to do podcasts, which are more business orientated. And I think you do it so many times, you get to kind of figure out what works and what might not work. I've got a few friends that worked in the media. I did some programs with them. I read a lot about stuff, you know, in terms of structuring and how to do things. I taught myself to edit. So effectively, I became self-sufficient in not only considering the structure, but also how it would be effective and how you can learn from traditional broadcasting. For example, you know, every Thursday, you get a program that comes out, you know, at a set time. You know, it's a very passive medium at the end of the day, because you would expect people to write to you or send emails to you, but the consumption is all around the world. So there's another piece of this, which is about looking at the static statistics, not remaining static yourself. I said the two words together. Mm-hmm. Statistics, what's happening? What do I need to change in order to respond to that particular, you know, behavior that we see, the high you know, customer behavior that's happening to the people that are consuming the content. So there's a whole bunch of things that come together when you're thinking about doing a podcast. And I think it's become more of a science. I wouldn't think about it too much because it's important to record stuff. And sometimes the most disjointed and, you know, noise, you know, intense, you know, poor quality podcasts get a real resonation.
That's right,
because that's right. People want what you're saying in terms of the content. The content matters.
Absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
But if you can marry both the content and the structure, you've got a winning formula.
No, definitely. That sounds amazing. I mean, we'll go into the structure a bit more in a second. So just quickly comparing it from back then to what you're seeing now, right? The industry is massively changed, right? It's so much easier. Like you said, you were hard coding stuff back then. Nowadays, it's a lot easier, right? But in regards to the content structure and stuff, that's still the same, isn't it? That's not really changed. That's like an evergreen kind of element of it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think if you were to combine it with a post, like a blog or something. And so nowadays, I'll give an example. Let's just look at a specific successful example, right? So Dr. Rangan Chatterjee does a podcast. I think it's called something like Live Well, Live Healthily. He's also got a book. He's also a BBC presenter because he's a doctor in the house. And he also gets really great guests. If you look at his book, in the book, it makes reference to the podcast. Then the podcast itself will probably be hosted somewhere on a website. Or it would be just the show notes, meaning the episode notes alone. So there you have, that is the traditional stuff that always worked. But combining it with a product and then also in the podcast itself, he will actually probably talk about, you know, product codes, which you can use for particular products that not that he's necessarily promoting, but the show could be sponsored. So you have another dynamic there. So the evolution of that podcast, a highly successful podcast, is that he has a omni-channel perspective to
absolutely,
you know, in inverted commas, you know.
Yeah, so no, it's fascinating because obviously that goes more into the marketing side of stuff for how to get your podcast out there. Before we touch into that a bit, let's go back into actual structure of a podcast, right? Let's share with the viewers, because I'm pretty sure there's lots of people out there who do want to create podcasts and they do want to structure, but they don't know how to begin or where to go, really. If we go with that, with structuring, if you're a brand new person, you wanted to create a podcast, how would you go about doing it?
It's a great question. And, you know, I run a company now. One of my companies actually specializes, it's called Cast Lab, and it specializes in helping people down that route. One of the things that they say as an exercise that you need to do is you need to think about your end consumer. Now, the end consumer may not be necessarily the person that's immediately going to tune in, right, on the first one, but have in mind who that person will be. So give me an example. NPR, National Public Radio, which is equivalent to kind of the Radio 4, BBC type channels here in the US, they wanted to change their demographic who was actually listening to it. They wanted the younger audience of a particular type. So the exercise to do, first of all, is to type keywords into Google, look at images, try and find an image of an ideal icon that you're actually going to basically go for. Like when I mean icon, I mean like an
image avatar type thing, right?
Yeah, an avatar, yeah.
Profile
exactly.
Of the type of person who's after.
Absolutely.
Interested in what you have.
And then there's the kind of like, you know, it's a them and us and the kind of so what kind of questions that you need to start asking. So let's talk about a real example. A couple of days ago, I was contacted by a charity who said, oh, we'd love to do a podcast. It'd be really, really good. Well, okay, so what do you want it to do? Well, we want it to feature the charity stakeholders, the governors, and also the end people that actually consume our service. Well, hang on, you're talking two different things here. Are you talking about the service you provide as a charity, or are you going to feature individuals in the actual podcast itself? But then we'd like to also link to the council, because the council give us funding, and it'd be nice to kind of talk about things that are common to them. So this particular group, so what I said to them was, well, let's think about it in four parts. And structuring is what it's all about. You know, to think about the structures. You haven't even cut code. You haven't, you know, written any content yet. You're just purely thinking about the concepts around it. So structures are important. You know, an introduction, which would be common every time. There would be something to do with the charity. You know, not to repeat it again and again, but what's new this week in the charity. The second thing would be a common thing that the charity looks after and a news story. Which will also be reflected on their website as well, because they could put a post up for that. there may be something related to a more of a national campaign. So if it's cancer, or if it's, you know, better integration into the community, if it's a language thing, if it's an organization that is providing homework clubs, right? So that's an initiative that they're paying for, but then they can feature a case study there. And then the final piece is maybe something around one of the members and featuring one of the members, their life story. So it starts getting engagement there. Mm. And then at the end, some really nice CTAs. What were the references that were used? What was
CTA meaning call to action, just in case
exactly.
anyone's listening.
Yeah, CTAs, the call to action, which is, what are you going to do? Where are you going to go? We're going to find more information about this. If you watch EastEnders, you know, if you're in the UK, or Neighbours everywhere, you will watch a program that will have a particular theme, right? And at the end, it will say, normally, there are a number of themes that have been discussed in this episode. If you'd like to know more, please contact XYZ. So in the same way, what you've got there is not only a structure that supports what you're trying to do as an organization, if you're corporate or charity, but it's also featuring people. Because one of the things to think about is it's about the attention economy at the end of the day. Everybody wants your time, right? And the kind of time before you actually say, hang on a second, that's been more than 15 seconds on a website, I am not going to carry on because I haven't got time for this, right? It's the same with the podcast. If you listen to it after a certain period, it'll be like, actually, this is not really resonating. Mm. So that may be down to voice. It may be down to subject matter. It may be down to the fact that, you know, that particular subject this week is not something that you're really interested in. So getting a combination of that is important. Structure is the thing to think about. Target audience is the people that you're trying to go for. And making it too wide or too narrow, there's no rules behind that. Mm. It's all around the themes that particular podcast or categorization that it will give you. Because if you look at the listings, it will always be under categorization. Is it health and fitness? Is it business? Is it lifestyle? Once you're in that slot, then you're kind of effectively competing against everyone else to get the attention, just like a website.
And it's not just that, though, is it? It comes down to the particular episode and what the topic you're talking about, and whether whoever's tuning into that is at that mindset or space in their mind to listen to that particular thing, right? That's quite important as well, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, the other thing is to always develop a podcast planner that says that you're not going to do one and forget about it. You're going to create all this kind of hype around it, but you haven't got two or three. And somebody recently said, if you look in a year's time, how many people that started a podcast will still be doing it?
Right? That's true.
It'd be an interesting one to look at, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
And how many can they really commit to? Because if they're going to do a podcast, they go, oh, I'm going to do one every week, right? If you're someone like Ragan, who's got, you know, probably got a team behind him, and he's got the backing of the organization like the BBC, which he's got that endorsement, that branding, that's quite powerful. But I still come from the school that says that, you know, I'm optimistic. I still think if you have something of quality, it can resonate and it can rise in popularity. It's hard because you don't get as much push. And if we give you, an analogy, when I was podcasting in the beginning, I was in a swimming pool, right? And there's only a few people swimming in that swimming pool. Now I'm in the same swimming pool, but the lanes have opened up and there's professional, you know, swimmers going up and down, up and down, up and down. So do I feel bad about that? Well, actually, I feel good that there's more people. It gives me more of a challenge to do, but it also means that I need to really focus in on what everybody else is actually doing in order to get something that's distinct, something worthwhile, something that is worthy of being good. But then again, if you've got a niche market and nobody else is going to listen to the other lot, then why not carry on? You know, yeah. It's all about stats. You need to look at that as well. But if you're like me and you love doing it, regardless, you're going to do it, you know. But not everyone's like me. They want to see
carry on for over 15 years, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I'm still flogging it, you know.
That's fantastic. I mean, what I'm getting from that is, I think for beginners, for example, there's a massive they need to have a reason why they're doing it, right? It's like, why are you going to do a podcast? What's your intention behind it? What's your purpose? And then from second to that is, who is this going to benefit? Who's going to resonate for it? Who's your target audience around that? Because you're right, though, because if you don't have those things in place, are you going to commit to a long-term go at it, giving it a go, right? I'll give an example. I remember when I kind of first came across podcasting, I was listening to a marketer who said, He said he'd done 50 podcasts before he found his voice, right?
Yeah, and I thought, absolutely. Yeah, you can do that. Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? And for me, that was like encouragement to say, well, you know, 50 podcasts is quite a lot, but it's not a lot either. But it's a commitment, isn't it? Yeah. It's so that thing you mentioned about commitment is quite important as well.
What does that 50 podcast look like? Is it going to be something like, you know, I would say one a week, right? Are you going to take any time off? Who else is supporting you while you're doing it? You know, what's the production time? Let's just think about this production time. You know, if it's going to be half an hour, that's at least, you know, 2 to 3 hours worth of research and at least two times the amount of time to actually edit it, right? The other thing is, it's an interesting thing. You make a point about he actually found his voice after 50. One of the bits of advice I would give is it's not about name necessarily. It's about seeing whether or not you make the draft version, don't make it public, but very quickly get constructive feedback, not critical feedback. There's a difference. Constructive feedback so that you're able to change it, tweak it, and get it kind of like, even if they re-record certain bits, right? So that you can improve the quality of it, not because you never get a second chance to make a first impression, but because it's just hard to get back on track, because then you lose that kind of the original momentum for why you did it, right? But saying that, life is about experimentation as well. Certain things work. You know, Twitter started off as a podcasting site, and then eventually it became a messaging site, you know?
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, it's important to, like you said, the frequency and how much you commit to it. And the most important thing is practice, isn't it? Because I think what a lot of people do when they start off a podcast, they see people out there creating these podcasts, intros, outros, decent quality products, right? And then the people they're listening to are speaking quite well as well. And they listen to these things and they make us a comparison, even a subconscious comparison, to think, wow, this is amazing. I want to be like that. But they know they're not quite there because they haven't practiced. They haven't put it out there, right? And that creates procrastination from actually doing it. And what they don't realize is the people they're listening to have most likely been on it for a while anyway. They've been practicing and doing things, right? I mean, that was one of my reasons for getting into this, was just because I wanted to develop my speaking skills. I thought, how can I do it? I thought, okay, podcasting, let's just give that a go. And I think I'm on, at the point of this recording, we're in about 30. I've done about 30 at the moment, right? So I've still got another 20 to do before I find my voice.
Just like your friend, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. You're right. I mean, and I listened to like the first one I created to where I am now. And, you know, with practice, you get better. And I think that's quite important for people to understand, is don't be disheartened by anything. It's just like what you said, commit to it, be consistent with the frequency, structure in the sense that, you know, who is your target audience, why you're doing it, and then put it out there, get the constructive feedback as well. Let's talk a bit about the actual structure of a podcast. I mean, what sure. should actually be in it, if that's all right?
I just wanted to quickly go back to this, you know, the thing you're saying about practice makes perfect, but it's also about the research as well. And they say the best interviews, especially because different podcasts are going to be different types of podcasts, just kind of leading on to the structure. If you decided to do a podcast which is more documentary orientated, well, what's the difference between that and, you know, other things? So you would want to, you know, if it's just you talking, right? Because one of the things to bear in mind that is that the difference between a podcast and anything else, it's about an intimate relationship. Someone has plugged you into their ears, right? There's a late night listen. It's like an audio book, but it's not a narration. But if you decided to do a narration oriented audio book type, there's nothing wrong with that. Right?
Yep.
There's no hard and fast rules in podcasting, but it is about, I did a podcast about Apollo 13 being a successful failure. And we were looking at how teams work together. It was a specific business podcast on collaboration skills. And so I took an extract. And again, you have to be careful about taking extracts, whether you've got rights to it or not. You know, if it's Creative Commons copyright, all kinds of things in terms of the music, you know, copyright, royalty free, you know, there's completely different, you know, discussion than that. And then having taken a little clip, you know, Houston, we got a problem. And then you talk about it. And then you go, the next bit is, we've got to get this, you know, bit of thing around, you know, object into a square hole. And then so sometimes you're using different techniques to emphasize the actual thing that you're trying to talk about. So that's more kind of like narrative, one person talking, you know, structured. I'm going to introduce the subject. I'm going to talk about it for a bit. I'm going to bring some examples in from elsewhere. I'm going to bring a guest in. So it's about segment, you know, how do you break the segments up so they're easily bite-sized chunks? And the other beauty of that is that you may, you know, do another podcast and say, hey, this is what we spoke about in a previous one. So this is kind of like the repurposing. So structure is quite important because you can develop some assets that you could recreate. Like you've got sound effect ones, haven't you?
Right? So yeah, that's right.
You're bringing them in at the right time. And that's more kind of like a live type thing, but it's something that you want to do and it makes it fun, right?
Yes, that's right.
So structure typically tends to be, you know, if it's an interview between two or three people, right, there is always this issue about people talking over each other. Mm. There's always an issue about ums and ahs, which you can edit out, right? But the important thing is to take a little tiny, almost like a summation of what that podcast was about. Mm. Something so radical or something so eye-opening that was in that podcast that you can put in the first 15 or 10 seconds of the podcast, right?
Like a hook, right? To hook them
in. Like a hook, yeah. So you know, as soon as you switch it on, you go, oh, that's really interesting. Mm. And then you pop into the intro, which is normally common, right? Very short. And then you've got your structure. And typically the structures would be what we're going to talk about. Who's going to be the person? Why is this important? You know, why you should keep listening. And there's so many devices that you can think about during your narrative. You know, things like coming up, we'll be covering this. Oh, by the way, coming up in about another half hour, we'll also be talking to Mrs. Y, right? Or Dr. X, who's a specialist in, you know, Marvel Comics, you know? So do you know what I mean? It's like you're preempting and you're keeping, it's just like radio. You're keeping the person interested, right?
Yeah.
Or coming up in the next hour, we've got this. So you're introducing the structure from the beginning. Then you've got a middle bit, which is probably normally the bulk of it, right? And if you componentize, which is what I call it, the podcast, you would record an intro, which would always be common. Mm. You'd always record an outro, which would be common with the, if you want to learn more, if you want to visit me, if you want to send me an email, if you want to visit my website, you can find the episode notes, right? So, you know, you're kind of giving them an encouragement to an afterthought after the podcast. And then all you would need to do would be to have a short introduction to the theme and make sure the theme has a flow. And it's all about flow. So if you're going to talk about bullying in the workplace, right, this is one I'm working on at the moment, right?
Okay.
So bullying in the workplace comes about. What are the reasons? What's the definition? What are the reasons? Let's look at a case study. Let's look at how that person resolved it. And let's talk a little bit wider about, you know, whether or not this is a growing issue and whether or not there's a difference between bullying and mulling, right? Which is a group of people that that bully a single individual or a set of teams. So you're automatically opening up the discussion and then you leave them with some things for them to think about. So structure is important around the theme, but it's also important from a perspective of making sure you bring in good statistics, good subject matter experts, little extracts that you can find that you can squeeze in. So even if you're both on the interview, you know, you see it sometimes on TV. They'll go, well, let's have a look at the government stats. They show the stats, right? Well, you can do that audio. Let's have a look at the stats. What are the stats telling us? What's your view on this? You know, why do you think this is important in your view? Or do you think that we should compare those stats to other stats? So you maintain the interest, but that particular structure of the podcast is reinforcing the theme that you originally started off with. But you see, the thing is, you don't do that necessarily on the fly. You could, yeah, it's dangerous because it could go down a particular tangent. When I write the script for a podcast, this is what we're talking about. I normally have a quick discussion with somebody first and say, what are you going to do? And I write down and agree with them via email. These are the themes that are going to pop up. However, here's a separate set of questions that we could talk about if we start to dry up.
Right.
And the good thing about that is that not only does it stop the conversation from going off at a tangent, but it ropes the subject back in and the individual has got something more to talk about, right? So planning, you know, preparing to fail, you know, you're prepared to fail unless you plan it properly, you know?
Yes.
Failing to prepare is preparing to fail, as they say.
That's right. That's some awesome tips there. I can kind of relate back to that when we've had done like interviews in the past, for example, and I can see the structure, how you've been putting that in place, and it makes total sense. It's like you said, it helps keep the narrative in place, right? Keep the kind of track of what needs to be done. That's a good stuff there. Well, what I'm picking up on there is, like, it's, you know, there's the kind of element of what is it, who, the why, the how, you know, and it seems to be like a bit of a rotation around those key questions around that topic. I mean, what else would you say in regards to the structure that other people will find very beneficial? Is there anything else that you want to add to that?
I think it's important to have that discussion first. And sometimes you may think of a structure, but it may not work.
Mm.
Okay, so you need to trial it over, because it could be that some parts are more drier than other parts. It is important to have that discussion first. And whenever we've done TV together, or whether we've done radio together, you know, we've had a long discussion earlier. You've got to invest that time to do that. And it's almost like if you've done it during the same day, it's still in your head, right? I would have those bullet points handy.
Mm.
That's important. You know, the three, you know, core areas that you're going to cover would, I think, be the most well rehearsed you can.
Yeah.
Right. And that would be a tip from my part. Knowing your person that you're going to interview, right, is quite important too. Knowing them well, knowing, you know, what they've read, what they've done, you know, some of the things that maybe they can't remember, right, but you could find are relevant as well. You won't be able to document everything. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. You won't be able to get it all on paper. But the other thing also is, while you're interviewing, it's important, or while you're doing a podcast, is to keep making notes while you're doing it.
Mm.
You know, because during that period, you could see that it could probably go down a particular direction, and you can rope it back in again, right? So by having those three broad areas. So in presentation techniques, what they teach you is the flags.
Okay.
So one way of doing it is to draw a plant, right?
Right.
So you don't need millions of cue cards. You have a plant. And at the plant is effectively a wide funnel at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You introduce the subject really wide, and then you home down into three. But when you're moving between one subject to the next subject, the linkage is the flagpole, right, in order for me to get to the next part. So if I'm talking about swimming pools, and isn't it great to have swimming pools and temperatures and all the rest of it is supposed to be important, but how important is it also to have a good lifeguard, and what about the training? So the next part you talk about, so that's your signal in, your segue into the second part. So anything you can identify that would be the segue in, which is a flagpole to the next subject. Then the final piece, once you've spoken about all those, because you've got those on, and the reason why I mentioned the plant is that these are leaves, which have like a tree and branch on them, right? And at the end of that leaf is the flag, which is actually pointing you to the next leaf. So you've got three leaves, and then you've got the key subjects that came out of each one of those three leaves. Mm. And those are your summary points. And then before you close, you widen it out again to say, oh, it's so great to see you, and we look forward to seeing you, and here's a lot more information and information resources that you can go to. So you funnel them in, you pick particular topics, each topic is linked by a flagpole, and then you broaden it out just before you summarize the key topics from each one of the leaves.
Right.
And if you've got that on a diagram, like a single diagram in front of you, which is called the flower diagram, then you can actually, and if you look at a really good presenter, they normally follow that model.
Right.
They'll bring people in, they'll talk about three subjects, they'll link between them really carefully, they'll summarize them, and then they broaden it out before they leave the audience.
That's a very, very powerful tip, something I'm going to start to utilize as well. So thank you for sharing that, Savvy. Right?
It's good to draw it as diagrams, because when you've got the leaf, which is the, it's almost like a...
like a mind map almost as well, but...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think they call them fish bones, right?
Okay.
But the fish bone is surrounded by cause and effect. But in this case, the top bit and the bottom bit are the different subjects. They're not linked.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you were talking about that example, which was swimming pools, then you could, you know, one of the leaves or one of these, the whole subject is around making sure that you get the chlorine, you check it on a regular basis. It's all around the water. Mm. The next part is about safety, which is another leaf, and all the subjects that are around that. The third part might be the fact that what's the difference between outdoor swimming in the open versus a swimming pool? And at the end, you summarize each one of the key points from each one of those three topics that's related to the subject. And then you say, good luck with your swimming, because it's really good for strength, stamina, and suppleness. So you've kind of broadened it out, but you've left the person with a a consumable set of content that they can very easily digest, because the flow between all three is kind of signposted before you move to each subject. Yeah.
Right. Wow. So is that something, well, you that works really well in interviews, but it can also work in, like, if you're just doing, you know, you're just talking to yourself, for example, in one of those podcasts, and you're just following the path. I suppose in that kind of context, it's more even more structured, because now you're not having a conversation with anyone else. You're talking about something, so you can move from one thing to another better.
Or things that I missed out, or by the way, can you take you back to that? The only thing I would say, though, the cautionary aspect of this is that you don't want to make it too obvious, right? You want to make it so that it's seamless in terms of its, transition from one topic to the next topic.
Yeah.
You don't want to make it too obvious that you've suddenly cut off the summary and you're talking about general stuff because you're going to close it, right? Mm. Because the problem with that is that it becomes disjointed and there's too much interruption in that, you know? And then again, you can also use whatever device you want when you're talking to let the other person segue into the next bit, right? You know, or let them do the close, you know, experiment a little bit. Nice to have co-hosts. That's quite useful. It takes the pressure of one person to do it.
Definitely this is fantastic. I mean, like, just sharing for myself, there's like so many things that you can know beforehand, but sometimes you just got to dive in and just do it and learn experientially, and I think that helps kind of strengthen. But if you've got that pattern or structure to follow, it just makes that much easier, because you're not trying to make things up on the spot. Some really useful tips there, Savvy. You're not bad.
Oh, thank you. Well, you should hear the podcast. No, it's okay.
No, but talking about podcasts, I mean, you've got the Being Business Savvy show, the Smooth Grooves licensed review program, the Cast Lab Experience, Seek Within, and you do Radio Hillingdon, Sky TV, right? That's,
So Radio Hillingdon... So very honored that recently I won the award for a documentary in the UK. That was fun.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. And then, in terms of the Being Business Savvy, that's more around, structuring and all those good things, So, it's important to, to talk about, the Cast Lab Experience is about podcasting.
Yeah.
Being Business Savvy is purely around the fact that there's digital strategies, what's the best way, finding people that can do stuff. I do another show, which is also a video on TV on Sky, one of the Sky channels, but I turn that into, so I repurpose content. That's the other thing to speak about, is that you can always take extracts and redo it and actually knock it out, or make compilation shows from your last five. And that's an episode in its own right, because that can send people back, to do that. What I would say is an interesting technique that I came across recently was, when you've got a podcast which is quite a few episodes, and you say you're going to be up to 50, but you probably got some great stuff in there. Now, unfortunately, you're not going to go like the old traditional, we're digital now, so in the old days you'd have to find the CD or the DVD and where is it? I recorded the cassette, and I recorded it on there, and you put the cassette in. But hey, we got a fantastic advantage because we're now digital. We can find content. So this is what's really great fun that you can do, is that if you had a podcast that came out every week, and I know people that do this, on the Wednesday, which is every Wednesday, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the podcast comes out. On the Friday, there's a 5-minute podcast. Now, normally the Wednesday one is an hour long, but the Friday one is only 5 minutes.
Right.
What are they talking about for 5 minutes? It's the bite-sized version of a very old one, which actually says, so you do another one, say next week, and it's another guest, and it's somebody who's going to be talking about, the importance of, product ladders and making sure that you understand that, there is complementary content that can support it, and how you build that marketing model. That's a different subject. Whereas what we're talking about is podcasting. 6 weeks' time, wouldn't it be nice to bring this one back, because this is actually, generic enough, and it's something that is still resonating, because people still want those skills and tips. So on the Friday, on the Wednesday, you do your standard show, which would be about product ladders. And on your Friday show, here's a 5-minute summary of one that we did about 6 weeks ago, which we featured, myself, Jatinder, I'm talking on your behalf, talking to Dr. Savvy about, structuring podcasts. You can still get that episode it's number episode X, right? And it's available from there. And the show, you know, and the episode and the show, all that information is available from this website. And it's all you record on the Friday. So what you're doing is you're effectively harnessing all the great content that you still got to repurpose and reposition that same podcast, which was useful to the same audience. Because by episode 30, you know, new ones, new people that have come on board not have heard a previous episode because they can't be bothered to go back. But you're pointing them in that direction. So that's another thing to think about is that, you know, you asked me a question about structure. Well, each one of those is a separate structure in its own right because it's a different theme. But because you're following a structure for release management, right, on the Friday, you can point them back to one that you did earlier, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's fascinating because that in itself is a structure for your planning and how you're doing podcasting, right? So that's a very, very awesome point. And that's what I share with a lot of people as well, is because you've done content before. A lot of people do this. They create the content, they've put it out, and then they forget about it. And then you think, well, hang on, it's still relevant, right? So why not bring it back again? Because like you said, you know, the second time around, more reach, you might get more reach and more people seeing it. So I think that's a fantastic tip. And it's just, it's awesome in repurposing.
Yeah, but why waste the stuff, you know? At the end of the day, why waste all the great work that you've already done?
Exactly.
And point them back to something that's still... I mean, obviously, if something's gone out of date, you wouldn't want to do that because you embarrass yourself, right?
Yeah.
But if it's something that's generic enough that's going to be really good, then I would suggest that you, you know, bring it back.
Yeah. That's content that's evergreen. Because that works really well with evergreen content, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and that's the other thing. It's also to think about when you're doing content... think about not timestamping it within what you say. It was like, oh, last week that happened, it was a really big snowstorm, and what we're doing, well, you're not gonna be able to use that one again, are you? And the term that we use with some of the work that I do on radio is it a canned show, which means that doesn't mean it's got canned laughter. It means that can we read, you know, say for example I'm not available on a particular weekend because there's a show that I do on Wednesday, Fridays and Saturdays on the radio station, right? But the Saturday one is recorded in such a way that the following Saturday, if I'm not able to do it, they won't pick the previous one. They'll pick one from the can because they've got about 25 in the can. So they can pick one from before. I'm not saying that no one's going to remember it, but the point is that it's generic enough to be played again, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's a handy tip as well. So I'm going to have to go back to this one where I mentioned my 30th episode and then cut that out.
Exactly. No, just okay. keep it. For example, your 30th episode. Yeah. I covered your third.
But it's good because now when I listen back to it, it'll be like, oh yeah, that's what we spoke about on my 30th one, and see how it goes forward. Yeah. So that's really cool. I mean, Sav, you've shared some very fantastic tips there. I mean, we've spoken about, you know, your reason for doing your podcast, right? We've spoken about your target audience, and talking about what do they want to hear? How are you going to create a message that resonates with them? We've mentioned things about research and the type of podcast that you would be doing. Because the different types of podcasts have got their own structures to it as well. You mentioned about research, you know, because it's quite important to do research beforehand. And then constructing it, you know, you spoke about interviews, or if you're doing just, you know, generally.
Yeah, but also testing and experimentation, you know, what resonates, what works, you know.
Yep.
So as soon as you've done one, don't rush out the door to do it, to send it out into everybody in the entire universe, because you're going to have a bit of a problem there if you need to change it.
Yes.
You know, get your closest friends and, you know, make sure you don't cry when they give you a bit of feedback, you know, a bit more, you know, ask them for constructive feedback, not critical feedback, you know.
Yeah.
That's the difference. You know, what could I change about it? Did you like the tone? Did you like the subject matter? Did it resonate with you? Were there certain areas that I could have spent more time on? Is this something that, you know, from a marketing and branding perspective, it resonates with you? It's something that's easy to look up. You know, is it too individually focused, or is it a bunch of people working together and effectively, you know, each one of their messages is fair? You know, there's no point in having three people on a podcast, but only two of them are talking.
That's right.
Because the listener's going to pick up on that, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, everyone gets equal opportunity. If you're going to feature them, you know, what are you doing in there? I mean, I would always recommend doing an introductory episode. Don't just make episode one, season one, and it's bang straight into it. Spend at least... you know, a lot of attention and time in making your very first trailer episode, because effectively that could be your trailer. You know, that'll be the first port that everyone's going to go to. If they've listened to episode 6, they'll go, actually, I wouldn't mind actually going back to episode 1 and seeing what this host is all about, what the subject's about, where is this person, you know, getting their information from, you know, what are they positioning, you know, what's the purpose, you know, because they'll use episode 1 for that. So that is another bit of advice. And maybe spend more time structuring the very first episode, which is only going to be at the max, probably about 2 to 3 minutes long, mm-hmm. right? But it sets the tone for the rest of it, you know?
Yeah. No, that's it's awesome. I mean, then, you know, you're sharing about the structure within the actual podcast, the way you're linking it using the link tree, you know, so you're always on topic, on path. And then obviously you mentioned like the call to actions right at the end. And the call to action is quite important because it's what allows the user to connect with you that next extra step, right? Any tips and advice on like the call to actions? What were your thoughts around that?
Well, I think, you know, I'm afraid I have to say that it's still passive. You know, mm-hmm. you know, you're unlikely to going to get a lot of people calling back and saying, oh, look, it's great, I loved it, whatever, because people are inherently haven't got time. Sure. Or unless they really felt strongly about it, they would write. But that's not to say that you shouldn't give an opportunity to say you can go here to get feedback. Mm-hmm. I think the jury's out on how podcasting is going to develop to have more audience reactions. Mm. Right? They're not necessarily. I know Anchor makes it really easy. They've actually got an option in Anchor where you can actually get the listeners to leave a voice message yep. for you, right? Which is quite nice, especially.
It's got a nice invite as well, hasn't it? To call people in on the call to record the podcast.
Absolutely, yeah, you can do that. So there's loads of really nice tools that are actually part of developing them, and mobile is really good for that. You know, you could be on the move, record it, get reasonably good quality, but just coming back to your point, though, in terms of reaction, the only thing you have is stats. Mm. You know, who are they? What are they? You know, in terms of where do they come from? What's the typical demographics of the people listening? There is also the fact that you're getting an increase in number of plays, right? Which actually gives you a bit of encouragement.
Oh, they're dropping off at a certain point, right?
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say that. Yeah, if they're dropping off because there's obviously a direction that you're heading in that doesn't seem to be resonating with them. It's not to say that you shouldn't talk about things that are good, you know, that, you know, and it depends. Again, we go right back to the beginning of this conversation. What's the motivation for doing it in the first place? Is it to big up yourself? Is it to big up the products? Is it to big up the organization? Is it to feature individuals and make them shine in your podcast? And you're just a facilitator for that, you know, and for that particular scenario, there will be a structure, right? And the more professional you are, the cleaner it is, the more effective you are in terms of getting the message across and exploring the different themes and keeping the conversation going in a more kind of like, not like I said before, respectful, but more of a kind of like, give them an opportunity to talk, get them an opportunity to, you know, explain why they're doing what they're doing, for example. I think going out in the field's really good, you know, and mixing it up a bit so it doesn't sound like it's just, you know, do it more guerrilla, you know, orientated rather than actually just being in the studio and being clean. All right, I'm going out and about, and here's a bit of a, you know, it's obviously difficult to do when you're in lockdown, but you know, here's a bit of an extract of what's going on out there, and then use multiple sources. You know, you've got the whole internet in front of you, where you know, subject to copyrights, where you can, you know, bring in different examples of what certain people have said. You know,
No, absolutely, and yeah, some really good insights there. Sammy, let's talk quickly about the future of social audio. And what are your thoughts around that? So we got podcasting and people might be interested in doing it, which is fantastic. Go ahead, give it a go, you know, never give up. And obviously the more you do something, the better you'll get over time, the more you start to uncover and how things work. So it's encouraged for people to, you know, pursue their dreams in that manner as well. And when we're looking at social audio, what are your thoughts in regards to what's coming, what's possibly coming or could happen?
Yeah, well, in the future? I think it's going to be more reaction oriented. You know, you've seen the sudden rise of Clubhouse. You can't record stuff there, but people are quite willing to voice their opinions. You know, people are even using it. They're saying it is the new radio. But is it? You know, radio is still there, even though podcasts came. TV still there, even though, you know, YouTube is there. It's just another complementary device to connect with people to make it better. So that's one thing. It's a device to get more people to talk together and maybe take it offline and record it separately. Yeah. So that's coming. The second thing that's coming is, I guess, more reactions to, apart from just, to listen dynamically. Well, are you going to stream a podcast with a live show? That might come about. but there could be more ways of interacting when you're actually listening. So, you know, there's more integration in the back end. I think the RSS feeds will probably change at some stage, you know, in terms of the syndication type processes will be different. They might even start to recategorize the type of podcasts that are out there. I think that, you know, if you look at, is it that very famous guy, Mr. Rogan,
he's been spending millions
with Spotify to offer exclusive contracts with only podcasters being on particular platforms. Ad insertion is going to be up. You know, there's going to be more robots that will be able to have breaks like you've got in between YouTube. That's another thing that's going to come about. I do think that, you know, promo codes and stuff used by popular podcasters will be, you know, influencers will be in there as well. Some of them might automatically break to that promotion code that operates at a certain time, and the affiliate programs will start happening. So I think, yeah, exclusive content, which may make the professional swimmers, as I described in my, you know, example, a bit better at what they do, because, you know, they're more powerful than you are, because you're just a small guy who was in there, you know, from the beginning, just paddling in the corner. I hasn't got access to the super duper trainers, you know, that are making that person super swimmer. But, you know, it's about freedom, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's about people wanting to make sure that they can, there'll be some fallout from that they have, or some generic tool that they can use. But it's important not to worry about it, but do it, because you're happy to do it, and you're happy to use the medium for freedom of speech as well as an outreach for people to connect with each other. That's what I think at the end of the day. It's a good way for people to make friends, learn more stuff, relatable information, and as
just
well as
express
that,
express yourself
as
well.
Speaker, you know.
Yeah.
Better presenter.
Yeah. So, Savvy, I heard something a little while ago. I think we'll just end it after this conversation, because I'm respectful of your time as well. So I heard recently about somebody said that podcasts at this moment in time are where videos were 10 years ago. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think that's true, or do you think this is different?
I think it's different. Okay. But I do think there's going to be a merger sooner or later.
Okay. Merger? What do you mean by that?
There'll be, I call it kind of twin complementary stuff. If you're watching Amazon Prime, if you click the status or the kind of hold button, you get all the individuals up there who are the, and you, if you click into it, you actually find the different people that are actually in the film and a little bit of history. So I think companion stuff might start happening, where somebody's doing a video, but at the same time, just like a conversation, unified messaging, someone would come into that video, because the podcast, the video podcast, would be opened. If it's an audio podcast, it may be open, so that when it's actually available, you'd get a ping, right? And then you'd say, actually, you know what? Next time we record this, could we be on there too? So although it might be detached, but there's the opportunity for you to interact better, right? And if you decide to do a live stream, which will ultimately become repurposed as a podcast, that person will be included, because they'll be pinging you at the same time. Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, I think the jury's out on where audio, social audio is going to go, but it's going to be more reaction orientated. If you're on Clubhouse, if you flash your mute button, right, that means you're clapping.
Yeah.
But there's got to be a better way, right?
Yeah,
there has to be a better way of communicating, saying, I've got my hands up, just like in video conferencing. I've got my hands up and listening. But there's a difference between live and, you know, pre-record.
Last words? And if anybody wants to get in touch with you.
Yeah, castlab.co.uk is one. Right, that's the best way to go. And savvyleaders.com, that's the home of all the stuff that I'm doing.
Okay, fantastic.
Appreciate
Savvy, thank you very much for your time.
You. See you later.
Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Digital Rapport podcast. If you have any questions or would like to find out more about what I'm up to, then make your way over to www.digital-rapport.com, where you can find out how to turn your skills and knowledge into a profitable authority business online.